Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Expert to Authority show. This is the show for coaches, speakers, and trainers who want to grow their businesses while making an impact in the world. I'm your host, Simone Vincenzi, and today I'm here to celebrate a great friend of mine, an incredible GDX member, someone who won the Influencer Business of the Year last year in 2023. But also someone that I had the pleasure to share my incredible experiences with and call a great friend. So without further ado, Sarah Poynter Ryan, good to see you here.
Hello, how are you doing?
Really good, really good. Congratulations for winning Influencer Business of the Year. Well done.
Thank you very much. Okay. I was very excited to win it. Second year I've won it, just for the record.
Second year. I think when was the first year? Was it 2019?
2019, yeah.
2019, first year, 2023.
Proud of this, yeah.
Second year. Well done. Well done and well deserved. I mean, we're going to talk a lot in this interview about money and the role that you just wrote a book, Money Mechanics, and the role that actually money is well played and plays into the growth of your business. Yeah. But for everyone that doesn't know about you yet, because they will, tell us who you are, what you do, a million things.
There's a few things. So my name is Sarah Poynter Ryan. Hello to everybody that's watching, listening. I am an investor. That is what I fundamentally do. I work in the property space predominantly. That's where I've spent the last nine-ish years building my businesses. And I've got a number of different property-based businesses. And I also invest in stocks and shares and funds and crypto and various other asset classes as well. And I got into business in 2015 because at the time I was very much in debt, about £60,000, just under £60,000 of credit cards, loans, overdrafts, those sorts of things. And I'd never really been taught about money. I never knew how money worked. I didn't really understand debt and how it was impacting my financial position. And in 2015, when I started my property business, I decided that actually I needed to learn how money worked properly. And then I spent 2 years clearing debt, worked really, really hard, cleared all my debt. And then because I, for the first time in my life, sort of 2017 time, it was the first time I ever had any money that was actually mine and not the bank's money, I started to invest and learn more about how different money mechanisms work. And yeah, that's why I wrote the book. So Money Mechanics, always got one to hand, really to teach people how to engineer their money using the tactics that the super rich use in their everyday lives, because middle to lower income, middle income people just have never really been taught about how it all works. So I wrote the book to fill that gap, to help people to shift their financial trajectory.
Matt, still remember one of the first conversations I had with Lovelda, my wife, and we were, dating for about 5-6 months. And then she asked me, so what's your credit score?
I can imagine Lovelda asking you that, actually.
You know Lovelda, right? Like, that's something 100%. That definitely she would ask like 5 or 6 months into a date. I said, what's your credit score? And I didn't even know what the credit score was. I had no clue. It's like, okay, let's log in here. Let's go to check my file and then see what's your credit score. And the face that she had when she saw all my...
Was it not good?
We're in the low 500s, in the deep red. With me, that I haven't paid some credit card bills that I didn't even know I had. And there was definitely a journey to have a good credit score, well in the green, and so on. But and it takes years. And as you mentioned, is mindset, is mechanics, is knowing what to do. And just no one ever told me those kind of things. And so I had to have my baptism of fire, facing the shame of discovering my red credit score with my wife to be there after 6 months of dating. But that's how, that was my wake up call.
It's so common. People just don't really understand. And I think, you know, this all starts when we're kids, right? The our relationship with money is effectively carved into us by the way that our parents and our families operate around money. So, you know, I've written about this in the book, and there's a whole chapter on money mindset and different styles of money relationships. You know, if you're in a family where, you know, money was really tight and, you know, there was a lot of stress around money and these sorts of things, then that's going to continue into your adulthood, unless you consciously change that. If you're in a family, if you grew up in a family where giving away money, like being really generous and giving away money, was something that was really normal, well, as an adult, you continue that behavior. But if you're not someone who earns enough money to be able to afford to give it all away, you end up in loads of debt. And what I think a lot of people don't understand is that the way that we are with money in our adult life is directly linked to how we've been taught about money as kids. And, you know, I was always taught, not, I wasn't taught, I just remember being surrounded by people who would say things like, money is the root of all evil, money will change you, money's bad, money this, money that, money doesn't grow on trees, all these things. Mm-hmm. And so subconsciously, my relationship with money wasn't a very positive one. I always thought, oh, it's just, you know, never going to work for me. It was always going to work against me. But with some very simple shifts in understanding how it actually works, money isn't a terrible thing. Money doesn't turn you into a horrible person. Money amplifies what's already there. So if you are inherently a good, generous, kind human being, having money will make you even more generous and even more kind, and you'll have the ability to do it. If you're someone who's generous but has got no money, you can't give anything away. And I think there's this common like stigma attached to, especially for middle and lower income people, where if I all of a sudden get money, I'm going to all of a sudden be a really different person. And it isn't the case. Money will just amplify what already exists.
And that's a big shift to make. That's a big shift. And yeah. And I think it was one of the keys that got me to start in business, because I don't know if you know this, actually, there was my hippie period of my life where
I've heard about your hippie periods. From you.
Okay. Yeah. So the hippie period of my life, I was actually deeply against money. Because I went into the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories and how money is created and how is it destroying the world. And so I went down deep into that rabbit hole to the point that I was even looking, and I did live in for a few months in eco-villages, transition towns, system that actually exists outside the financial system because of that reason.
Yeah,
and then I went through my own journey to understand, actually, no, there's nothing wrong. It's energy, and it's about, it amplifies who I am. I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. Great. Let's make a ton of it now.
Loads of it.
And life is easier and better when you have more. Yeah. It just makes it, if you're a good person, of course, then you...
It greases the wheels to make stuff happen. You know, if you are, you know, let's just think about health for a second, right? So, you know, if you suffer with something to do with your health, if you've got money and you can afford private healthcare, actually, you don't have to wait 9 months for an appointment at the hospital. You can get it that same week. And even just in the simplest things like that, actually, having money is something that I didn't really know that I was missing massively back when I didn't have it. Now I've got it, I'm like, I actually, it's such an important part. It's not... it doesn't make me anything other than what I am, you know. Yeah. It's just amplified what's there, but it totally greases the wheels to be able to facilitate things that I probably wouldn't, well, I definitely wouldn't be able to do if I didn't have money.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I want to go actually a bit more more technical in the way that, you know, you're in a unique position because you've grown multiple businesses. You have also invested in not only properties, stocks and stock market, crypto. Yeah. So you have a different vantage point compared to someone that can only do like one thing. This is one thing I've done, or a couple of things, but then you've been able to understand different dynamics. So if someone is, let's start from the perspective of, I got some money and I got to invest it, right? Whether it's, but I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
What, how can they think about it instead of saying, okay, no, you need to invest in this, but what's the thinking behind it, or what you should look for?
So I think there's a couple of steps before that I think a lot of people skip, that I think is really important. So we call it the money momentum method, right? And if you don't have an emergency fund, then you shouldn't be investing yet, right? You need to have an emergency fund. So if your boiler breaks down, you haven't got to use your resources to repair it. If your tires are flat on your car, or your car dies, or, you know, an actual emergency, you've got 3 to 6 months worth of your living expenses in a pot that just sits there in a high interest ISA or something like that, which means you've always got access to it. So if you've got a pot of money, if you know, let's say you've got paid some cash, or you've got an unexpected amount of money, actually, unless you've got an emergency fund, I wouldn't even start investing it. I would look at putting it into an emergency fund first. Secondly, I'd be looking at your debt next. So paying off your high interest debt should be the next thing. So any interest that's costing you more than 7% a year, that, if you've got a random pot of money come in, clear your expensive debt before you invest. Once you've done those two things, you've got an emergency fund, then you've cleared your high interest debt, anything over 7% a year, then we start to look at, okay, what shall we or should we invest in? And I think for me, I definitely can't give you investment advice or say what to do, but what I absolutely can tell you to think about are two core things. One is diversification, making sure that you're not setting yourself up with a single point of failure. You know, if you buy 100 shares in Apple, you've got a single point of failure. Apple has to perform for your £100 to be able to like increase over time. If Apple goes bust, not that it's likely to anytime soon, but if it did, actually that investment's going to go with the stock, right? Whereas if you invest in index funds, so something like the S&P 500 or the FTSE 100, you've got 500 different companies or 100 different companies that you're invested in. You buy a tiny share in all 500, you're really diversified. So for someone who's inexperienced, often going for a fund is going to be a better option than going for stocks, because you remove that exposure to a single point of failure. And never invest what would destroy you to lose. So, you know, if you get £1,000 and that's all you've got, that's your whole life savings, never ever invest that. That's crazy, because it's going to destroy you to lose it. Never invest what would destroy you to lose, because there's always risks. So emergency fund first, then high interest debt, then starting to invest small in a diversified way and clearing low interest debt. And that's the methodology I would take somebody through.
Mm-hmm. And it makes so much sense, because in fact, like, sometimes people are looking to invest money. It's like, okay, I've got this money, where should I invest it? But they're still paying 25%
on a credit card.
And I'm like, very few things are going to return 25-30%. And if they are, there's also a high chance of risk as well. Yes, so it's like, so get clear of that first, and then go into, depending on your investment strategy, whether it's a more long term or short term. I want to ask you as well about the crypto right now, because it is very topical
at
the moment. There has been a soar after a few years of things going down. Now things are back in the up. So, of course, all the crypto gurus are back out there saying, I told you should invest in crypto, and crypto is the best thing since sliced bread. And now that it happens all the time with anything that, with any time there is a there is a boom in a particular industry. What's your view on crypto? Where do you stand?
What's my view on crypto? Well, it's actually a very big question. So I am invested. I do have cryptocurrency. I hold cryptocurrency, and I invest weekly. So I buy more currency every week. I have it on a consistent, like, weekly transaction, so it just does that. I'm not long on crypto, so I have more stocks and shares and index funds than I do crypto. I have more property than I have stocks and shares. So property is like my first tier, stock shares funds is my next, crypto and is kind of my play money. Why do I think it's important? I think, one, because it's not going anywhere. Like, people were talking to me about 10 years ago about crypto, or 8 years ago about crypto, and they're saying, oh, it's this flash in the pan, it's never going to take off, no one's ever going to take it seriously. And they're wrong. It's definitely a thing. It's definitely here to stay. And I believe that it's possible. It's not likely, but it's definitely possible that our fiat currency could suffer a significant blow in terms of value, and in terms of the way that the world uses it. You know, if if you, you know, depending how far on this scale you sit, but if you sit right at the other end, the kind of fully decentralized currencies, their assumption is that at some point fiat currency will fail for us all. And the thing about understanding the what that means in terms of practical money is if fiat currency fails and you do not own crypto, you will have nothing. It's just as black and white as that.
Yeah.
If it was to fail and you have no currency, crypto, digital currency, you'll have nothing. Because if the only way to trade goods, services becomes digital, because digital currency is finite in volume, so there's only so many Bitcoins, there's only so many XRP coins, because it's finite in volume, it will all be gone. And so the value will naturally push upwards. You know, is that going to happen in our lifetime? Who knows? Probably not. But what if? And I'm a cover all bases kind of girl. Mm-hmm. You know, even if I haven't got a little bit, at least I stand a chance in that space. It's not my primary investment strategy.
You got yourself covered, and almost like a backup. So what I mean 100%. Is like a backup
insurance policy.
And insurance policy and also short term investments, which means if you're looking at from my assumption here is that once you're happy about the return that something is making, then you're cashing out. And then decide what to do with the rest.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, and I've made a lot of money from crypto, and I have lost some money with crypto, and it just kind of does its thing. And I cash out when I want to, and I hold it when I want to. And yeah, it's not my primary layers or even my secondary layers of investment. It's certainly, I assume I'm going to lose it all. So I would never put any money into crypto that I wasn't comfortable just walking away from. Whereas like in the property world, that's not the case. I feel it's very safe. In funds, I feel like it's very, very safe. And that's why it's lower risk, lower returns. Crypto is much higher risk, much higher returns.
I want to switch the conversation a bit and focusing more on what does it take for you to be at someone influential in your industry? Because one of the reasons why you won the Influencer Award is because you are influential in your industry. You have a lot of people that are following you, a lot of people that are listening to you, to what you say, that have been doing it for years. From the day you started with the property training until now with the launch of the book and so on. What did it take for you to get to this level of influence where you can really influence the lives of hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of people? What did it take for you?
It's still a really weird concept for me because it's not whatever my intention was. It actually isn't where, you know, I didn't start all of this to be able to say that. But it's taken, I guess, to just be honest and authentic with what it is that I do. And I believe that people who do follow me or, you know, are in my communities and so on, I think they're there because they know they'll get the real version of me. They know that they'll get the days where I say, this is just crap. And actually I've lost money or my tax bill's too high or I've made a mistake on this. And, you know, I kind of take it on the chin. Like stuff's never perfect. And I don't really want to put across a version of running a business or being an investor or any of those things that's less than authentically what actually my experience is. So I think probably most of the people that follow me because actually it's quite easy to get a very genuine representation of what it's like to be in business. And actually that it is bloody hard work. And yes, you can be super successful and yes, it can be very quick, but it does take a lot of commitment and it takes a lot of sacrifice. And there's been things I've got wrong a million times. But it's great fun. And the fact that I now get to share that with other people and the fact that I get messages off, you know, every day I'm getting messages from people saying, I've implemented what you said in chapter 5 of the book and I've just like, made my first dividend. And I'm like, yes, this is amazing. You know, if I can help anybody to come from the place that I was, which was broke, worried about money all of the time, stressed about money, losing sleep about money, not being able to afford to live a life that was like, I went out at the weekends, but using an overdraft, like it was always in the back of my head. If I can help people go from worrying about money to not worrying about money to in the future, being able to like retire early, live a really fun life, travel, drive the car they want, whatever it is, then that's, for me, that's super fun. And that's what I want to do.
Yeah. And you have such a passion for it. And on the other side also, this also saves life, because we see how many suicides are happening because of financial struggles, how many families are broken because of financial struggles, how many people are unhappy because of financial struggles. And I think that, of course, money means something different to every person. Everyone will assign the value or the meaning to money that they want, they will assign. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if there is one thing that it gives to everyone, is that peace of mind most of the time.
Yeah.
Once you have your basic cover and more,
then
you just operate at a different level. You're operating at a different level. Your decision making is not now based from survival mode.
Exactly that. Imagine a world where we all made decisions from a place of what we wanted instead of a place of, can I afford to change? You know, people being able to leave toxic relationships because they're independent, financially independent enough to just say, I'm leaving, or leave a job that they hate because they're financially set up with a 3-month buffer to go and look for their dream job. Or people who, you know, go through stuff in their life, whatever that might be, divorce, losing a child, like real, real heavy stuff. You know, what if you could just go traveling for 3 months and reset and recover from whatever experiences, because you've not got to worry about money. You can go and do those things. You know, imagine a world where we're all living in a place of choice and not because we can't afford to not do something different. The world would be a happier place. We'd all be nicer to each other. Life would be easier. And that is the mission I'm on, I guess, is to help people to become financially stable, secure, and independent.
So what's next for you in this mission? What are you, because I know you're the audiobook, like the moment of this.
Uh-huh. So the audiobook
easy, or like a couple of days ago or yesterday or something.
Yeah,
like
the audiobook went last week, but like last 4 week. Days ago, went in number one bestseller. Knocked Tony Robbins off the top spot, so I'm gonna take that. And the podcast.
I think you can update your bio there.
I know, right?
Just like that. It's so
funny. Just that.
Knocked Tony Robbins off the most.
The podcast is in the process of being recorded now. So that will be being released this quarter, so before the end of March, definitely. And I'm doing a lot of public speaking now. So really, I want to just be on stages, helping people to understand these methods and helping them to really implement what's in the book. So yeah, that is this year. I just want to talk more and more with more people, more often, about the methods in the book and help people to change their money.
All right, that's brilliant. So if someone wants to buy the book, the audiobook, get in touch with you, where's the best place?
So Amazon is probably the easiest place for everybody listening anywhere in the world. Money Mechanics by Sarah Poynton Ryan, and it comes up in Amazon, paperback, Kindle, and audio. So that's a good start. Moneymechanics.global on Instagram, or you can find me personally on Instagram or Facebook. I'm around. You'll find me.
Yeah, I'm around. You'll find me. And to make it easier for you to find her and all the links, they're going to be in the show notes. So check the show notes. You will have the links to Amazon for Money Mechanics, the website, Sarah's social media. So then you can see what she's up to. And a couple of things, definitely, you will find her content very inspiring. Sometimes hilarious as well, when we had the realization that you gave me a hard day last day when the gladiator, we realized that the gladiator was probably, I was like
30 years ago.
It's not right.
Misled. Time is not okay.
Last question. This is also about, this interview is also about GTEx, and a lot of people interested in GTEx listening to this show. We've been working together for a long time, and then our working relation became more of a friendship, and that's how we kept building from it. What did you get the most in terms of whether it's from the work that we have done together or the conversations that we have that other people should know about?
So I think what I love about you, Simone, is that you're very strategic in the way that you think, and that is very similar to me. You're quite creative. So whenever I've had moments where I haven't been able to think of the solution, you're often the person that I would message to say, what do I do about this? Because I'm quite creative anyway. But sometimes you just need another set of eyes to look over something or to think about, well, why have you done it like that? What about if you did it like this instead? So for me, you know, that's how we first started working together, is you always had that ability to think quite strategically alongside what I was doing. And then we carried on working together because we just have quite a lot of fun, I think. And you know, I've met a lot of the community, I've spoken at GTEx events, been on the retreat, like we've done lots of stuff together now. And I love having you as part of my own personal power team. I get to just ask you good questions and you always have an idea that maybe I've not thought of, and vice versa for each other.
100%. And that's why I would encourage, well, first of all, thank you. Really, really appreciate your kind words. So if you're interested in working with GTEx, the link is in the show notes. You can book a call and then we'll take it from there. But also make sure you check, you follow Sarah, because in particular in the financial space, there is a lot of BS. And we had many conversations about this, where it's very difficult to know who to trust. It's very difficult to know who is telling the truth. It's very difficult to know who has actually a real experience. And I can definitely vouch for Sarah. She's always been, from day one, she has always been the kind of person who will only share things that she knows about from the inside out. And that's what you can expect. And so make sure you follow her, and then buy the book, Get Money Mechanics. And then if you have any questions, just reach out to Sarah. She's definitely there for you.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure having you on the show. And for everyone who's been watching and listening, first of all, subscribe. If you haven't subscribed, that's really, really important, so you don't miss any other of these juicy episodes. And also leave us a 5-star review, not less than 5 stars. Why? Because one is good for the show, 2 is good for the guest, and 3 is good for my ego. So that's an ego stroke. So give this 5-star review. Keep them coming. And until next time, remember that together we grow exponentially. Ciao.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Explode Your Expert Business Show. If you enjoyed the interview, please subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Every week we will select a winner from the reviews that we get. So it might be you. Make sure you give us a review. It means the world to us, and that's how you can help us grow the show. Also remember to download the Expert Business Checklist to get the roadmap on how to become an authority in your field. The link is in the show notes, or you can visit gtex.events/expert-checklist. So it's gtex.events/expert-checklist. And as well, finally, if you want to receive daily support in your coaching and speaking business, or explore how we can work together, join our private Facebook group, Explode Your Expert Biz. Again, you can find it on Facebook at Explode Your Expert Biz, or the link is in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and until next time, remember that together we grow exponentially.